Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Party people! What's good? Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It is another Wednesday. It is another Wednesday that Will, my co-host, and I, Danny Vietti, are taking over the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It is December 9th. Will Middlebrooks, the World Series champion, longtime MLB veteran, Boston Red Sox, San Diego Padre. How are we living out there on the East Coast, my friend?
Oh, we're good. We got a cold front, a high of 60 today, so it's feeling like the holidays. I like that that entrance you gave me. That's you make me sound a lot better than I was. So
kind of hype you up a little bit more. Hey, I'm gonna bring you down though, because we got a little bit more of an MLB veteran joining us, Adam Jones. I don't know if you've heard of him, the 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover, longtime Baltimore Oriole, pretty solid player. Last year played with the Oryx Buffaloes. He's going to be joining us today on the podcast. So we'll humble you a little bit.
That's okay. I'm used to that.
Yeah. Like the last two podcasts, I've never felt so like out of touch, because we had last week we had Jackie Bradley Jr. and you. This week we're going to have you and Adam Jones. So me being the really good student that I am, and a really, you know, I had a solid college career, but I think I'm a little on a different spectrum, I guess, but I don't know.
You don't have to play in the big leagues to be cool, man. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. You do a good job of what you do, and that's all that matters. You don't have to play in the show. It's just a cool job. That's all it is.
Will did say the other day that I could do this podcast from a porta potty and I still sound like an angel. So I am holding on to that one strong.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about bounce back candidates going into the 2021 season, because we had a lot of guys being non-tendered this last week. We had Kyle Schwarber. We had David Dahl, surprisingly non-tendered. A lot of big time. I mean, these are all-stars we're talking about. Kyle Schwarber, the World Series champion, David Dahl, an all-star. There were some really good players hitting the open market now in MLB free agency that really weren't expected to, and now they are. So we're going to talk about bounce back candidates. Like I mentioned already, we're going to have Adam Jones, longtime MLB veteran, on today's show. Will Middlebrooks, of course, was non-tendered, if you didn't know, by the San Diego Padres. And you got it. What is the mindset there? Because essentially they're saying, we don't think you're really worth even a minor league contract. That's got to be kind of a blow to you and your mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really tough as a player that, for one, they traded for me. So that means they wanted me, right? They get there, I play okay. I have some injuries. That's the story of my career. This was kind of in the middle of it when this happened. But played all right, hit some homers, not much for average. So they shipped me out to AAA, played well there, and they never brought me back, you know. And so when they never brought me back in September, I was going, hey, you know what, I'm probably not going to get tendered a contract. So that's tough just as a professional, because you know the work you put in, and for the team basically say, we know you're arbitration eligible, we're not going to give you a contract. So you're free. You're free to go.
Was the writing isn't a good thing. Was the writing on the wall, or were you kind of surprised, like, damn, like, I'm not going to be able to play for the Padres next year?
I was surprised that I didn't get called back up, because I played well, decent enough in AAA in El Paso to get back up. I was more surprised that I didn't go up in September. So when I didn't get called back up, I know it's a business. And at that point, that was my fourth year in the big leagues. I had seen how the business side of it worked. And like you said, the writing was on the wall. I knew it was coming.
Well, a guy that might not have known it was coming, although he did struggle last year, Kyle Schwarber. Last year, looking at his numbers, I mean, he's never been a high average guy. He strikes out a lot, but he's got massive power. Last year, he hit just 197. This is actually his career. He's hitting just 197 against lefties, 239 against righties. Right. So he obviously is maybe not a platoon guy, but he could be a platoon guy. And as we're going to talk about, it could be a really good DH option because he's been a really poor, poor outfielder. He has not had a positive defensive WAR output. In fact, he, when you look at since he started being put out there in left field, he's one of the worst defenders. He's talking about a negative 29 outs above average, according to Fangraphs. That's fifth lowest among all outfielders. Yeah. So I know we talked before, you like Kyle Schwarber in an American League team. And again, we're talking about bounce back candidates. Kyle Schwarber is certainly one of the top candidates to bounce back in 2021.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, last year he was bad. Last couple of years he hasn't been great, but the pop is there. The K rate's up. He also walks. He also works counts, sees pitches. There's not a great stat for that. But, you know, as a team and getting into teams' bullpens, that means something when you're building a lineup. But the hard hit rate, you know, he's squaring balls up. His exit velocity's up. Near the top of the league when he makes contact. There's obviously a lot of swing and miss, but that happens as a power hitter who's trying to hit trying to slug and hit the ball over the fence. But I think a good fit for him could be Toronto, could be Minnesota if they don't sign back Nelly Cruz, because they're going to need some pop. They're going to need a DH. And I honestly think him in the DH spot is going to help his career. It's going to help his at-bats because he's a catcher. All right, let's not forget he was a catcher.
That's right. Completely forgot.
Just to make himself more versatile and be able to play, be in the lineup more often and get consistent at bats, he made the choice to move to the outfield. Yes, he's been really bad out there. He knows he's a liability out there. He's uncomfortable out there, and that stresses you out as a player. You know, I was a decent fielder, but I would go through 2-3 game skids where I didn't want the ball hit to me. And that feeling and that lack of confidence would carry over into my at-bats. So if he's feeling that all the time, no wonder that stress and anxiety level's a little up and he's not having good at-bats, because he is in the back of his mind still worried about blowing the game in the outfield.
Well, people were talking about Schwarber in a Yankee pinstripe uniform. I don't know if I love that, because the Yankees have plenty of guys that strike out a ton and they have plenty of pop. They don't need another guy that strikes out a lot and also has pop. They just need to stay healthy. They don't need a Kyle Schwarber. True. Interesting enough, too, Schwarber against breaking balls, hit a 38.3 whiff percentage. He really struggles against breaking balls. He hits the crap out of fastballs. You give him a fastball low and in, he's going to crush it. But he really struggles against breaking balls. So that's something to pay attention to. And I should have cleared this up beforehand. But what we're doing with these bounce back candidates, we're basically talking about if we were a GM, would we pay or pass? So I apologize. I should have mentioned that. I'm a bad host, but I'm making up for it. So, Will, are you paying or are you passing on Kyle Schwarber as a general manager?
I'm paying. I'm not overpaying, of course. No general manager wants to overpay unless it's the elite of the elite. But I'm paying. I think his power numbers are there. And I want to see how he can do as a full season as a DH.
Fair enough. I'm buying as well. I know his whiff percentages are up, but they've always been up. Still got power. And again, you mentioned a DH role. He could be really nice too. And unfortunately, they talked about it. News just broke out that Major League Baseball is now telling teams to anticipate not having a DH,
right,
which sucks for guys like Marcelo Ozuna, Kyle Schwarber, because I think Schwarber would be great with St. Louis personally. But, you know, moving on, let's continue. Another interesting guy. So I don't think there's anybody that could have expected Yoenis Cespedes to just leave the Mets halfway through the year. He just dipped out. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I see where this team is going. And it's like the Mets in a nutshell, at least for the past couple of years. Now they got Steve Cohen. Hopefully they got something going. But Yoenis Cespedes is now a free agent after dipping out mid-year. Safe to say that contract did not work out for the Mets. Do you see him landing with anyone? Because he's had legal issues, for one. He's had bull issues or pig issues. He fought with
wild
a pig.
Wild hog, yeah.
Wild hog, thank you. I'm sorry.
From the South. I can explain this one more.
I don't have my wild animals intact. But, yeah, wild boar. He's just an interesting character. He's electric in the field. I mean, he's going to sell tickets. But if you have no fans in the stands, he's really useless, really. I mean, he's still got power, but.
Yeah, no, he's exciting. I played with him for a couple months in Boston in 2014, and he's an interesting character, that's for sure. He loves him some Yoenis, that's for sure. I'll just leave it at that. But I think he rubbed chatty? A lot of people. Say that again.
Is he chatty?
Chatty? No, he keeps to himself.
Yeah,
he keeps to himself. But if you start the conversation, he's pretty fun. He's a funny guy. But I think he rubbed a lot of teams wrong with how he treated the whole Mets COVID situation. Now, this is just my opinion. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him about this, but he didn't leave because of COVID. That's my full opinion. All my opinion.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag there.
He wasn't playing well. He was hitting 161 through, 35 at-bats or something like that. And they started plugging in other players. Dominic Smith, those guys who were swinging it a little better, and he wasn't happy about it. He had already had a lot of money taken away from him because of all the injuries and the time missed, and he wasn't happy about that. So he left. I don't see him getting a big league deal. I don't. I think a lot of teams are going to pass on the character issue. I think they're going to pass on the fact that he hadn't played many games in the last 2 years. That baseball is a sport where you can't miss a ton of time and then just hop back in there and go get knocks off guys throwing 98 with a 92 mile per hour slider. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
It's not football. No offense to football players.
Right. It's not a physical
pass after sitting out for 2 months. Baseball, if you don't see a pitch for 2 years, good luck.
Right. Football, it's physicality. You just go out man, out strength that guy. Baseball is more finesse. You have to use your eyes, your hand-eye coordination, your brain. It's tough, especially with the long list of injuries he's dealt with. He's going to continue to have issues throughout a long season. So I'm passing on Cespedes. I think he's a good candidate for a minor league deal, but I think his ego might be too big to take a minor league deal.
Yeah, I'm not touching him with a 100-yard stick. I think – one, I don't think he's a cancer in the clubhouse. I just think he has too much going for him and not enough going for him.
Yeah, definitely not a cancer in the clubhouse. I can tell you that firsthand. He's not a bad teammate. He just kind of does his own thing, takes care of himself. I wouldn't say he's a great teammate, but he's not a bad teammate.
Yeah, and if for a guy that hasn't played more than 100 games since 2016, you're going to have to do a little bit more with the bat. And I know he's still hitting the ball hard.
I mean, the ceiling is through the roof. Like, high ceiling, I get that. But he's also – not going to take a really small deal, I don't think. I think his ego is too big.
Well, another guy that has gotten paid but is going to possibly look for a much smaller contract and might even make a good bullpen piece, I think John Lester, World Series champ, and you played with him in Boston, am I right?
You are correct. So another guy, one of my veterans. He was one of my veterans when I came up for my
good guy.
He's a really good guy, good teammate. He's good for a young pitching staff. I think he would fit in well with a young pitching staff. So I'm definitely paying him. I'm definitely buying John Lester just because of his history. He's a winner. He's a proven winner. He's a big game pitcher. And honestly, when I was sat down and I was thinking about where should he sign, Boston would be great because he started his career there. He beat cancer there. He threw all these big games. He won World Series. But then the more I dug into it, when you get later into careers as a professional baseball player, you want to play close to home. He lives outside of Atlanta. All right. Atlanta could use an extra arm. They're going to have a couple spots open in that rotation. And I think he can make them better. They're younger. They are open to learning and getting better. And he has tons of experience to give them, and he would be able to play at home. And I think he signs a 1-year deal. The Cubs turned down the $25 million option for this upcoming season, but the buyout was $10 million. So he doesn't need – I mean, he's made a ton of money anyways, but he doesn't need to sign a big deal this year. He's already getting $10 million from the Cubs just for not playing for them. So
nice. I wish I could
get $10 million. And if we weren't in – I mean, there were 59 non-tender players. That's maybe the most of all time. I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but I know last year was 53, and that was a ton. And that's just all because of the financial unsureness of each team right now. We don't know. They lost a lot of money last year. We don't know what's going to happen this year with a vaccine and COVID. We don't know. So teams are cutting guys like that. Like, they probably would have re-signed him just to have his experience on the bench, in the clubhouse, but they just can't pay for that right now.
I think Atlanta's fine. I just don't know if they really – I think they could plug him in as a fifth starter or a guy that comes in for maybe somebody that gets hurt, Ian Anderson, one of these other new guys is going to kind of plug into their rotation. Mike Soroka is coming off a big injury. You don't really want him throwing 200-plus innings. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I'm looking at Lester, and I'm passing personally. I think he's a really good guy. I just think it's kind of time for – I don't want him on a contender. I think Boston would be a great story. Atlanta would be a great story because that's where he lives. But you look at his velocity and his spin rate, it's down ticking. And you think maybe he just had bad luck. His expected OBA, expected batting average, expected slugging and barrel percentage all against him, all down last 2 years too. And the last two seasons, he's had the two highest ERAs of his career.
Right.
That to me is not only
he's getting older. He's getting older. There's only so many bullets and he's used a ton of bullets. He's thrown a lot of innings over the years and made a heck of a career out of it. But he's on the tail end of a phenomenal career.
Yeah. If he wants to be a bullpen piece, dude, I'm buying that guy.
I don't think he would.
Yeah.
I think he'd rather retire than go out pitching in the bullpen, which just isn't him.
Yeah. That's fair. And it's understandable. I mean, this guy has quite the resume. I mean, God, World Series champ, 5-time All-Star, but I'm selling. You're paying, I'm selling. That's fair enough. One more guy, David Dahl, and we'll kind of get into some quick hitters here. David Dahl, that is really surprising. He was an All-Star in 2019. Yeah. Problem with David Dahl, he just hasn't been healthy. And that's been a case for a lot of these guys that have been tendered. It's really just comes down to health. That's baseball. David Dahl is an All-Star in 2019. This last season was atrocious. Didn't play in very many games. I want to say he played in 12, 13 games. Got my notes in front of me. He just hasn't been healthy. And unfortunately, a lot of his numbers were going down. Didn't hit a long ball last year. He had 2 RBIs, I think it was, or 8 RBIs. I think just that hasn't been there. Beautiful. Hasn't been healthy. Hasn't been a component for the Rockies offense. And frankly, if you're Colorado, you can pretty much call up your handful of different guys in the minors. They're going to come up and hit 250 with 20 home runs in 162 game season in that
ball. In Colorado, right?
It's Colorado, yeah. And you played in Colorado Springs. You know how far that ball flies.
It does. It flies. And the thing with Dahl is I think he's a really, really good player. Yeah. He can play all 3 outfield positions, which not many guys are comfortable doing that just because the way the ball slices in different positions is tough to play. But if you take away last season, he's a career, 870 OPS? That's super solid.
828, yeah.
Okay, so I was wrong. Thank you.
It's still good and solid. Like,
Does that count last year? Because I said if you take away last season.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
If you take away last season, so he had a labrum, correct? Shoulder?
Damn, you just went number crunch on me.
That's fine. I can do that too. It's not all just you. I got it. So – he had a labrum last year. All right. I dealt with labrum issues from when I was 18 until now. I still deal with it. And I've had it scoped out a couple times, cleaned out. It's not fun. When that thing flares up during the season, you can't throw the baseball. All right. And then let's talk about playing in that elevation. I've played in Colorado. I spent a summer in Colorado Springs, which is 1,000 feet higher in elevation than Denver. And the nagging injuries, the hamstrings, that you can't stay hydrated. You drink so much water and Gatorade and you can only have so much and you're still pulling hammies. You see teams come in and off the road and they hit a double and you think they had to run a mile. Like, you're out of breath that bad and your arm hurts, your back hurts, your muscles are just always tight. And that's why, I mean, look at Tulowitzki. He fell apart there. He was phenomenal, but he fell apart because that, I'm telling you, that elevation, it takes a special player to be there and be successful and be healthy. Now, you take advantage of it and hit there all you want, but if you're not healthy, you're not on the field, you're not putting up numbers, and that's been the issue with Dahl. But I'm buying him. I think he's still a really good player. I think he's been dealing with injuries. I think he gets past that. And just looking at his swing and breaking down his swing path, that swing plays. He's through the zone. His bat path is through the zone. It stays in the zone a long time. He stays on off speed. He hits the ball the other way. There's not many holes in his swing when he's healthy. So let's get him. I can see New York. I can see Chicago platooning him. I mean, even plugging him in with injuries. Lefty hitting in Yankee Stadium is always a good thing. As the ball flies out, I sliced the ball off Mariano. I'm going to toot my own horn. I sliced the ball off Mariano out to right. So just hit it in the air. And he's got plenty more pop than I had. So I think he'd be a good fit there as a 4th outfielder platoon guy, possibly Chicago.
I'm going on a tangent here because you brought up Mo. Is he the toughest at bat you've ever faced, or at least one of, with this guy?
Okay, so not at that point in his career. Yeah. I got him. I was the last guy to homer off him. I have to throw that in there.
Do you have that on your wall back there?
Sports trivia of the day. I was the last guy to homer off Mariano. The day before, I got Andy Pettit too. But somebody else got him in his next start, so I wasn't the last guy to get him. But
he sucked.
I think at that point in his career, his stuff wasn't as good, obviously. He still had a really good cutter. The velo was down. He was mixing in more two-seamers, which made the cutter a little better. But the velo wasn't there, and I think just seeing him on the mound, seeing 42, hearing his name and Enter Sandman, the Metallica, as he's coming in, that's what made it tough, because you're thinking about, wow, that's the best closer of all time, and he's trying to get me out. So it was a really cool experience, and it's something – and to speak on the person he was, after I homered, he sent a jersey over.
Wow.
And said, "Hope you," and with a note, said, "Hope you always remember this homer. I know I always will," and signed a jersey. You can see it up in the corner of my you can see the pinstripes up there in the corner of my video. That's the jersey, and I have a Jeter jersey in there with it as well.
Cool.
Yeah, he was all class, and it was a really fun bat for me.
That's cool. I'm sorry I went on that tangent, but that's awesome. So going back to David Dahl, yeah. Paying or passing, I am paying him because he's cheap. He only made $2.5 million, I think it was, last year with Colorado. He's cheap. And I think San Francisco is a great fit.
Two or three years left to control too, I believe.
Yes, exactly. Which is another crucial piece. Again, he just has to stay healthy. And I think anywhere but Colorado is going to give him a better chance to stay healthy.
100%.
So we got Adam Jones on deck, and man, he's a unique personality. So he's going to be a lot of fun, but I want to kind of roll through a couple guys, just quick answers for you. I want you to tell me pay or pass on these bounce back candidates. Feel free to go as long as you want. Feel free to go as short as you want, but quick answers. Here we go. First up, Corey Kluber.
I'm paying him. I think he's still got a little left in the tank. I think a good landing spot for him is Boston. He has his home just outside of Boston in Winchester, Massachusetts. That's a comfortable place for him. I think he has a year or two left in the tank.
I too am paying Corey Kluber. Chris Archer.
Okay, this is a tough one because I really like Chris Archer.
Similar to Kluber.
Yeah, as a pitcher and a human being, I love Chris Archer, but he had thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. A lot of guys lose velocity. And I will say Chris Archer needs to be in the mid-90s to pitch well and be effective. He likes to pitch at the top of the zone. He's got a straight fastball. He can go down and away with it as well. But then that hard slider isn't nearly as effective when he's pitching 91, 92 miles an hour. We've seen him get hit around before the injury when he was a little bit lower on the radar gun. So it'd be depending on how he is with his velocity would make my decision. He needs to be in the mid-90s to be effective. So for me, I'm going to have to pass.
Fair enough. I would pay if I'm a team trying to rebuild, like Detroit Tigers, San Francisco Giants, maybe use them as a trade piece. But if you're a contender, probably not. Two more guys here. Adam Duvall.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to pay because the thump is there. I think he can be he had, 16 taters in 57 games last year?
Yeah.
All right? That's a really high rate for home runs in a really small sample size. So I think the thump is there. The contact wasn't. I get that. But that's a platoon piece. That's a bench piece. I think he fits in well with a National League team, especially if there's no DH and there's a lot of moving pieces and plugging guys in. I think he fits in, and I'm paying him.
I, too, am paying Adam Duvall. Last guy on this list, Eddie Rosario, who kind of a surprise wave by the Twins, and now he's going to be a free agent. All-star a few years ago.
Yeah, he's too good of a player. He's too good of a player I feel like there's got to be more that we don't know. Will it come out? I don't know. Was there injury? Was there this or that? There's plenty of stuff we don't know with front offices. I'm paying him. I think he's too good of a player, and he's still young, and he's got a lot left in the tank. So you got to take your chance there with him.
I am passing, actually, just because I don't think he gets on base enough. I think he's a good player. I just think he has room to grow in regards to taking pitches. His chase rate is high.
Yeah.
He needs to improve. Yeah.
But that's his game. That's his game. I feel like if you take his aggression away, there's a lot of players, if you tell them to take a first pitch or take a strike, that completely changes and flips their bat, and it changes their mindset. Some guys just have to be aggressive. That's just how they play well.
Ooh, I forgot one. We can't pass. We can't not pay or pass. We can't leave this guy out. Yasiel Puig, paying or passing. Last guy.
I'm passing. I'm passing just because I don't – well, he didn't even play last year.
Yeah.
All right. I need to see how he – I know he just started playing winter ball.
Well, so he was going to play, but then he tested positive for COVID. So that kind of ruined that.
Yeah. I just think there's too many. I don't know. I hear too many stories about him being an issue in the clubhouse. I mean, you just watch him. I mean, it's a me show. Is he a very, very talented athlete and baseball player? Of course. So I think maybe a rebuilding team. I think maybe a Baltimore take a shot on him if you can get him cheap.
Yeah, Colorado was kind of fluttered in there too. I'm passing on him. He had a sexual assault allegation against him that came out last month. To me, it's starting to pile up.
Off the field issues that carry into the clubhouse. So,
And I'm not saying every one of these allegations, sorry, this is a whole nother conversation, but I'm not saying they're all true. They're all these allegations are true, but like if it starts to turn into a trend, something you're doing is not right.
It's a distraction when you're having to answer eventually as a teammate and you have a guy in trouble and in the papers and in the stories with doing things wrong off the field as a teammate, it gets old because you're saying, wow, this guy isn't focused on us and winning. He's got his, got all this going on. And now I even have to answer questions to the media about Yasiel Puig. And it's a distraction in the clubhouse when your number one focus should be winning ball games.
So as your bounce back candidates for 2021, whether we pay or pass, we have Adam Jones on deck. He has a personality second to none. He's going to be a whole lot of fun. Adam Jones coming up next on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on Fantasy Baseball Today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We back. Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, And we're back with even more talent. We got 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover, Adam Jones. You know his resume. You know him as a player. Let's get to know a little bit more about him. Adam, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Oh, anytime. You know what I mean? And it's good to come on here and let people know that, you know, I'm just a human being. You know, I mean, just got a cool job. But, you know, I talk smack better than most, and I like to talk smack. So
I can attest to that. This man talks. He is the Philip Rivers of the MLB.
Hey, you got to talk smack.
The Nippon Baseball League.
I can't talk smack because they're like.
They don't understand you anyway.
I want to jump.
Just look at you. Like
best smack talkers in Major League Baseball.
Smack talkers?
Besides you, of course.
Who's the best smack talker?
You got to go with silent. I say silent ones because he was just silent and just was, you know, he's cool, but a lot of people thought he was a Pierzynski, AJ.
Oh, he wasn't silent when I played with him.
Exactly. You have to play with him. I'm saying playing against him. It took like 4 years. I get in the batter's box. I'm like, hey, how are you doing?
He just stared at you.
Just like 4 years. He just looked at me. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? God damn. And then like, I was like 2011 or 12 or something. He was just like, hey, how you doing?
Once you got through arbitration, he was like, all right.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it must have been like kid, you might not be here tomorrow. So, you know, like, shut up and just try and get a hit. But I think he's seen that I was going to be around for a little bit. So he's like, all right, the kid can play.
I mean, speaking of like the first few years in the big leagues, we've talked about this before, but you were a part of one of my coolest memories in the show. I was hitting my first career homer. I dug this out of the closet just for you. It lives. You can't really see it. There you go. First career homer ball. You were in that game. Mm-hmm. I know you remember that game. We talked about it. It went 17 innings.
Yep.
You hit the homer off our fourth outfielder, D-Mac, Darnell McDonald, to win the game for you guys. No big deal. Chris Davis went deep and got the win on the mound. He was punching everybody out, going like 92. But
He struck out Adrian Gonzalez.
He struck out Agon. He struck out Mike Aviles. I swung first pitch. I saw something close, and I was like, I'm just going to get this over with. I flew out the center. I mean, I was trying to take him deep, but I was feeling myself. You know that. I hit my first homer. So, but good times, good times. But
There's nothing better than that feeling, bro.
Oh, no better feeling. That's for sure. Speaking about you playing with the Orioles, I think I want to dig in here. You know, we got some fun stuff out of the way, but I want to dig in here and really get your views on really, honestly, how the game's changed, the analytics in the game, technology in the game, all the different devices we use to break down swings and pitchers, mechanics and everything. You came in the game, you were drafted early 2000s. You've been in the game, this would be 18 years professionally. You've seen it go from old school baseball to this technological age we're in now. Just what are your viewpoints and how do you feel about how the game's changed?
Well, first of all, I think baseball is still great. It's the greatest sport. Let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, it's chess. It's the only sport where the defense has the ball. Think about that. The only sport. That and then I guess cricket. You know, if you want to, but I'm talking America, some Americans care about. But you know, going from, you know, hitting behind the runner, playing the game right away, bunting him over. That's how I was taught in the minor leagues. Now it's, you know, hey, slug. These kids come up nowadays and don't know how to bunt. And don't know how to bunt. And the bunt is a wasted out. And anybody in the Yankees bullpen or anybody in the Rays bullpen, eighth inning when you lucked out and got a walk or a single pass ball or whatever, stolen base, man on second base, no outs. You think it's just going to be easy to just hit them that way or get a hit in general? No. People don't know how to bunt. Now, if you got the middle of the lineup, let's be honest. I mean, we all know, you know, Stanton is not going to bunt. LeMahieu, Torres, all them big guys aren't going to bunt. But there's a lot of guys in baseball that just don't know how to bunt anymore because it's not taught anymore. What is taught is, hey, it's about OPS. And I get it. Scoring runs is how you win the game. Creating runs is how you win the game. It's creating opportunities to create runs. I understand that. But sometimes you just have to take what the defense is going to get you. It's going to give you. But, you know, that's why I'm saying I'm starting as my career's gotten, you know, still extending. I'm slowly trying to understand the other side of baseball. I have the last couple of years trying to understand their point of view, because as the product, you just, hey, I'm out there. You don't think about what they're thinking about. You just like, hey, I'm facing this guy tonight. Let me just have some good at bats. Let me put the ball in play. Let me drive the ball. Let me get what I can do. You know, you thought your 1-for-4 was good. Up there, they could be like, that 1-for-4 was atrocious. He didn't do this. He didn't do this. He didn't do this. He cost it there. But you in your locker, 1-for-4, we got the dub. I'm trying to learn, what are they thinking? What's the value in players? And it's interesting because it works, I believe, when you use the component of the players and the data together, opposed to just going on the data or just going on the players. I think it's we're in an era where you have the data. You'd be a dummy to not use the data. But you'd be a fool to just use all technology. Like, it has to have a component of, look, this is how the game's going. This is how I'm feeling. You might, you know, man, you might, your back might be stiff that day. And you could, as infielder, especially a third baseman, you could see his swing if he's getting around on that heater that day. And if he's not, you're a little more comfortable. Like, okay, he ain't coming to me today. But you know when him hips is getting through and up, and he's like, oh, shh. This ball's about to come to me. This ball's about to be hot. And that's the player seeing that. That's the coaches that seeing that, who have seen pitch after pitch live and see the swing. So, you know, I just think if you use them together, it works.
Is there a difference? Now that you are in Japan, they do play small ball. They do hit behind runners. They do work counts. How does that work with the analytics there? Now, it's a completely different game. It's played differently. It's played more old school, like we just talked about, because like I said, they play small ball. So how does it work there?
They play the original, just traditional baseball. They play for one run, though. That's the difference. Americans, hey, you get a leadoff single. Okay, hey, let's get a leadoff walk. Let's get a walk behind the guy. I need that three-run home run, the two-run home run, the RBI double, man on second. Like, it's played for big innings. There, they play for one run. Later, I mean, and that's just how they do. Like, that's the style. And when I got there, I just was, mapping out and figuring out, just trying to see how they played. And it's like, this is a culture shock. It's completely different on how they do everything. And, with men in scoring position, you're not getting nothing fast to hit. And you're talking fork balls that are good, though. Like, you play with Koji.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they throw him for strikes at will.
He lived on it. He lived on the sport.
Literally. Yeah, they throw him for strikes all day.
He had better command of his split than he did his best.
Exactly. And, it's just a different style of game over there. But they play a really good – they play a clean style, a really efficient – they don't make errors. And when they make errors, they're out there the next day taking 1,000 ground balls opposed to being like – I made
the
error.
It's like us in the cage. Yeah. Just like, man, I had a bad game. I'm going to go hit 2 buckets.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess. It's the same thing. Oh, they do – they work. So they just try to be efficient. And I told you yesterday that I think I only seen like 3 errors from the pitcher, from the pitcher's position all year, like home, like against us and our team.
Which did you like better, Adam? Did you like the small ball aspect, or did you like letting them let you play, letting them let you swing away?
I've always played baseball. If the situation called for me to do something, I've done it. Me personally, because I don't care about my ego or care about anything. Like, if it's a man in scoring position, it's like, if I can, if it's a good pitcher, nasty pitcher, if I have no success off of them or limited, I might need to sacrifice myself, maybe bunt for a base hit, opposed to just sacrifice, but maybe bunt for a base hit, which I've done a lot. Either if I'm out, okay, I'm out. I always try to just play the game no matter where I ever hit, but 1 through 9, I mean, we're trying to take you deep. But then over in Japan, seriously, it's only, 3 and 4 and 5 that are, and maybe 6 that are trying to hit home runs. The rest are, they're like, just, hey, put the ball in play, guys, that annoy you. Hey, they annoy you. Hey, are we Matt Albers? Not Matt Albers, Andrew Albers, the lefty. Mm-hmm. Remember the lefty?
Yeah.
And I played behind him and just got to watch him pitch so much. And he makes good pitches, and they just flick him, foul him off. 80 pitches in the fifth. Throwing strikes, it's not like he's walking nobody. They're just fouling. Like, it's a style. Then they got the 2 guys, especially 3 and 4, that are just trying to launch. But majority of guys are just play the game, serving it up. And it's a good style of baseball. It's interesting, and it's very humbling to see that style of baseball. And they hustle. And they try to get triple and everything.
You would think one of your boys, one of your former teammates, Chris Davis, this style of play would really fit him. Launch angle, nothing but home runs and extra base hits. He's really struggled the past few seasons. I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, he was one of the best hitters in the game. Why do you think, just from a player perspective, you were one of his teammates, you think it's more mental for him, or you think it's more physical?
Well, it ain't physical. I mean, knowing I'll be in his locker mate for 9, 8 years, 7 years, something like that, 7 and a half, knowing he, put the time in, put the work in. Only time me and him shared, we locker mates, we shared the same pains. Fouled that ball off your foot. Yep. My knee hurt. My back hurt. My wrist's killing me. My thumb hurt. That just happens. That's just everyday jabber. My feet hurt this day. That's just the jabber which goes on in there. But we post up. And if he's posting, he's posting. I just think the struggles, it could be mental at this point, because, when you're not having success and, the big contract, people are like, oh, man. And he had 2 unbelievable years to where, hey, I see why he got that monster contract. And, when you get a big contract, you have to fulfill it. That's just – or the pressure's to fulfill it. And that just is what it is. And especially in Baltimore, it's like, what else is there to talk about? So let's talk on CD. Let's harp on CD. Opposed to the youth movement that they have going through there right now with, knock on wood, Mancini comes back healthy. You got Santander. And you got the shortstops. What's his name? I forgot. Got those hazel eyes, real nice eyes. But I'm saying they have so much so much talent that's coming up that they should focus more on that. And, you know, how baseball has moved, you're talking about on the physical aspect, how baseball has moved, everybody's, you know, especially in the AL East, everybody's 95, 97, 99, and just sitting high four-seam fastballs on him. And launch angle eliminates that. You can't hit a high fastball with uppercut swing often. Well, I should say. If it's down, oh, yeah.
Down in the zone and off speed, you're going to hammer it. Yeah.
Murder it. But you start going that belt and above, and it's 95, 96. These dudes throw hard, man. Everybody throw hard, especially coming out the bullpen, especially how, you know, teams are using their bullpens now. To where there's only a few starters that are even allowed to go 100 pitches. You know what I'm saying? And most have to go 80. I don't know. But you don't see a lot of the quality start. That used to be a standard, like quality start. Now it's like like how 300 innings was. 200 innings is like that now. And 200 innings is a lot of damn innings. But just imagine them dudes was throwing 300 innings. And I'm talking about, like, Kershaw has a couple. This isn't the you know, furthest past of past. So it's like how baseball's transitioning in that form. That's an analytical side. You know, third time through the lineup. Right. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, man, this dude on the mound got some experience too. I mean, damn. Let him be able to. That's why you're not just a – if you're a thrower, all right, get somebody out. But, you know, it's a pitcher. Dude, both times. Let me navigate. Now, if I can't get to it, get out. Give me the ball. Good game. Smack him on the ass and keep going. But, you know, the game has changed that way. I used to love when you used to see every night. Like, I remember when Tillman had a four-year span, every start was at least 100 pitches. Didn't matter the outcome. He's getting his 100 pitches. Kershaw gets his 100 pitches. Unless he's giving up an 8 spot in a second when he throws 52 pitches, he's getting 100. He just has to get 100. Verlander, 100. Scherzer, 115.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck taking him out of the game. I want to change speeds a little bit. Just before we wrap this up, I want to talk about Team USA. We can't not talk about Team USA. You getting to go play in San Diego, which is your hometown, friends, family, robbing a teammate, Robin Machado, and that, you know, the iconic robbery of his home run. I just want to hear about that because I think that's pretty cool to represent USA on your jersey.
Oh, that was one of the best moments. I mean, obviously, of my career. I mean, the Olympics is the global, oh man, I'm going to represent my country, you know, getting to see a whole new everything, every other country in the world, and just beautiful. That's the Olympics. WBC, it turned into bragging rights. You know what I mean? At first, I think it was just like a really good competition. Then America was pissed. Dominican was pissed. They ain't winning. Japan won both first times. So they're like, oh, hell no. Both countries, I think United States, Venezuela, everybody felt like, oh, no, hell no. No, no. The Japanese, they're not going to come over here, whoop all our asses, and y'all just going to allow it? So I think all the countries were like, yeah, nah, this is for bragging rights now. 2013, Dominican won it. They was hype when they won it in 2013. I mean, and they were talking smack throughout that whole WBC time. The Latin players, you seen, if you even look
that's
at it.
That's when the swag started coming into the game again.
Exactly. You had the dudes wearing the green sleeves. You had the Latins have their own BP tops with the Venezuela. Got the countries on. They started just be like, look, hey, man, we here. Okay? Y'all good. Y'all thank you for the opportunity, but this is our game now. And America just had to say, you know what? Ease that on a little bit there, bruh. But the first game, they got us. I mean, that was a game. They came
that
back.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, oh my! But then the second game back home, it's the semifinals. The winner goes to the final round. What game? How big could it be? The biggest game of the viewed. I mean, sold out crowd. This time we had more fans for us in Miami. It was 52,000 people there. 51,995 Dominican. In San Diego. It was way more fans for us. And so it felt like it was a home game for us even more. And we just duked it out. And, you know, we got to that seventh inning and we're up and we brought in Kluppert. He was our seventh inning to get to Robertson. And Chato comes up and just, you know, gets in hitter's count. I'm like, okay, look, all right, look, we just got to, you know, secure this game. We got three more out. We got nine more outs to get. First ball hit. I'm like, oh, damn. But I mean, I know Machado. I hear the sound. I'm running. It's like, oh, just go. Just keep going. It's a long run. Keep going. And I, when I came down with it, I felt myself catch it. I came down. I looked at it, myself in the glove, and I grabbed it. And I'm like, there's no way I just caught this ball. Oh, this is sick. And then, like, I mean, the whole stadium is just going crazy. And I'm like, there's no way I just caught this ball. And like, I'm just blacking out. Threw a bullet back to Kinsler. And the touch was near me. He's like, what? I'm just like, what the hell just happened? Walked back to center field. Like,
all while doing this at home in front of your friends and family, too. So
what the hell?
It was really like written up perfect.
That was the most text messages or messages in just general I've ever had in one day, hands down. That people just like, and it's still an iconic play. It's still a great play because we won. We ended up winning the whole thing. And you know, it was fantastic. It represents Team USA. We just told the world that, you know, the Americans, you know, hey, we're still running things, you know. And I can't wait for the next one. I know it was supposed to be next year, but it's going to be 2023. I'm definitely not going to probably participate in that, but it's going to be awesome to see guys like Acuna, Soto, Trout. Hopefully, you know, he's going to be about 32 at the time. Hopefully, he's still willing to do it. Harper, same age. Hopefully, they're, you know, willing to do it. And this next group of real good pitchers, you know, as Bueller and Bieber of the world, so hopefully they join and do it. And Mookie, you know, hopefully, you know, he wants to do it next time. So, you know, it's just a grand tournament, but it's bragging rights now. And Dominican made it after that in 13. But I think Japan incited by coming over here and whooping our ass two times.
let's kick it into fifth gear here. Let's get some rapid fire questions that Will has ready to go for you.
These will be quick. We've got a few of these. And just quick first answer that comes to mind. All right, let's go. First favorite city to go to as a visiting player?
Ooh, visiting player, favorite city, Seattle. Brothers Trip. Steakhouse, El Gaucho. Yum.
Love that. And did they draft you?
Yeah, they did.
All right. I'll change gears. In Japan, what's better, sushi or Wagyu?
Wagyu. Sushi's amazing, though, but the Wagyu. Come on, I'm a carnivore, to be honest with you.
I bet. All right. If there was one teammate you would not want to be quarantined with, who would that be?
Dang, and you still haven't found the guy's name.
We were talking about this.
We were discussing this.
Will Omen. Willie Ayer or Wilson Betemeet? Because
Will Omen.
It was Omen. Okay, so
Will Omen.
Was Omen.
Will Omen. Will Omen. Okay. Hey, he's going to be sacrificed, and I'm going to eat him because I can't talk to him. Hey, good guy, meant well, but gosh, shut the hell up, Will. Damn.
I love it. I love hearing stuff like that. All right, is there a TV show or a TV series that you're locked into right now?
Finished The Undoing real quick. That was a nice little 6 episodes. Waiting for the Ozarks. Japan gave me a lot of time. I did a Designated Survivor. That was cool. I like Kiefer Sutherland because I love 24. So that was solid. Some good, you know, I watched though, but that was good.
So favorite date night spot with the wifey? In San Diego.
Oh, because I had a few everywhere. I've got some everywhere. San Diego date night, this place, Barbosa, Italian spot.
Okay.
Bomb. And actually, I don't like Italian outside. I like Italian at home, but bomb.
Okay. Last question. One thing on your bucket list you need to check off.
Australia and Antarctica are next.
So check off all the continents. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Australia. And yeah, that's a pretty, I mean, to see all the continents is, Antarctica is probably going to be the toughest. And yeah. But I don't even think I'm that ambitious. I don't know if you
can get a straight flight from San Diego to Antarctica, but who knows?
No, you'd probably have to go. I mean, to be honest with you, I've never even looked into how to get there. You probably got to go with the U.S. Coast Guard or something like that, or some people out there looking for ancient aliens. I mean, there's supposed to be some big world base under there where Hitler's still over there. He's probably about 99, but he's still there.
I got one more for you before we let you go.
Yeah, that's some cook. Oh, whatever you got, buddy.
All right, hypothetical. San Diego, they're vibing right now, the Padres. That's your hometown. AJ Preller is calling you up right now. They're saying, hey, We got you on a one-year deal. We have a one-year deal for you. You coming back? Because I love setting my alarm clock to watch you in Japan. I do, but I would much rather watch you at 5 o'clock my time.
Same here.
So what do you think is hypothetical?
If there was a way, I mean, hypothetically, it's going to be it's hard to get out of a contract, first off. So that's another legal. I can ask my wife. She can read the contract and all that stuff. But that'd be hard not to try and find out a loophole situation. You know what I mean? If it was for the same amount, plus or minus a couple, you know, 100,000, yeah, you'd have to entertain it. But I'm happy where I'm at. You know, I made a decision. I made a commitment. And, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. But obviously, who wouldn't want to play for their hometown team I grew up loving and still watch. And obviously, they had a great year. And their next couple of years are crucial because, they got money to spend and they got talent right now.
Hey, thank you so much. This 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover. You could make the case one of the best Orioles to ever play, really. I mean, one of the great guys in this game.
On the lower end, there's some greats, man.
Hey, one of the greats in my mind.
Thank you.
Forever. Adam Jones, we miss you out here in the States, but hey, who knows? Maybe we'll see you back again in San Diego one more time. Adam Jones.
Thank you, Jones. You never know.
Adam Jones, man. He is unlike any other. I mean, really. We need him back in the States because he's so fun. I know he's maybe past his prime, but dude's a dude.
He's such a fun personality. I mean, you saw it right there. I love talking baseball with him because you can tell how much he loves a game. His passion is unrivaled for baseball.
Yeah. And he was talking about analytics, implementing that into his own game. And he even said, if you're not using analytics, you're cheating yourself. So I want to ask you, how much did you implement? Because analytics was starting to become more and more of a factor when you were playing.
Yeah, no, I definitely, the biggest thing for us was just the amount of video that we could use on opposing pitchers, on ourselves. Everything with spin rates and Rapsodos and TrackMan and all that was just getting started towards the end of my career. So I didn't get to reap as many of the benefits from that stuff. But we had all the video you could ever want. So we were given all the scouting reports, all the video and, notes that you could ever want. And they wanted you to have it all so you could sift through it and just use what you needed. So I think the hardest part as a young player is not getting overwhelmed with the amount of information and sit down with a veteran and say, what works best? Like, what do you think I need? Like, what works for you? That way you can pick A, B, C, and D, or 1, 2, 3. And those are the three things you focus on that help you get better as a player. So that was the hardest thing for me was finding what worked. Not much worked for me, but that's baseball. But I would definitely say use it. Use as much as you can. Just don't overload yourself.
I think it's like anything in life too. Even if you're working an office job, you're going to have certain numbers that could help you. But when you're young and you're grinding, you just want to do a really good job. You want to impress. Like for me, example, like I work an office job and I'm just trying to get numbers, but when I hear information and I hear advice, sometimes it just goes in one ear and out the other. And that's just like any young person. So I think it's anything, but anyways, like such is life, I guess. So anyways, that'll do it for the second takeover for Will and I. Will, this was fun, man. I want to do it again next week.
I can't wait, man. This is awesome. Anytime we can talk baseball in December, I'm game.
Yep. Winter meetings are ongoing. So plenty to talk about. And our producer, Frank, just let us know that Carlos Santana signed a deal with the Kansas City Royals. So things are picking up. Adam Eaton to the White Sox was reported today, as was Lance Lynn to the White Sox. So we got moves. We got moves. So anyways, we'll be back with you guys next Wednesday, both Will and I. We'll miss you. We won't miss you that much, but we will see you next week. Thanks, guys, for joining. This has been the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.